God is justified. Now in school, when I've said something important, and I want those who are listening to me to repeat it as a statement, can you say, God is justified? Please. Now you say, it should go the other way. That should be a question. Is God justified? Is God justified? You say, what? I say, God is justified for everything he does. Not is God justified. Make it a statement. God is justified. I hope that maybe will change your perspective a little bit. Everything God does is good. Have we heard that somewhere before? First day, God said it was good. Second day, oh, I'm not going to preach Mr. Mendez's message all over. But everything God does is good. You say, how can Pastor being so ill be good? I can't explain why. But we have to accept God is justified. He is right in doing in Pastor's life something that we can't see. We don't want to wish ill on anybody. But we sure are glad when things go really good for us. But we've got to have that same attitude when things maybe aren't going good. God is justified in everything. In everything. And what helps us to understand? We have to believe it by faith. You see, faith is necessary for believing anything about God. I was raised as a Lutheran and I learned a lot of things about God, but it never brought me to the place where I had to ask God to forgive me of my sins and know that when I got that forgiveness, he gave me a gift. I said, God, how can you be justified in giving people eternal life? I'm going to see if I can help give you some ideas that will help prove that. I'm going to start in Genesis chapter 1. No, I'm not teaching the same message, but it covers some of the same opportunities to talk about. Genesis 1. God justified making a world for us. Do we know the reason God made this entire universe? Anybody? The reason God made this entire universe? It's for Bronson? So we could get saved? That's partly true. That's one of the things. Mike? His glory! Oh, why does he deserve glory? We have to believe that there is a God that deserves our glory. We can't just believe him and say, well, save me from the lake of fire. No. He's going to live in and through us. He gives us the opportunity to do that. And it's important to know it's for his glory. So I need Bronson's help on another question. Ready, Bronson? Science class, okay? You know the answer. How did God make the universe? How did God make the universe? He spoke. He spoke. But in science class, we learned a Latin phrase. Say it nice and loud. Ex ex nihilo. You say, what? Well, has man ever been able to create matter from energy? You haven't read all the science things. Man has been able to make microscopic pieces of matter. I read an article on it a few years ago anyway. Microscopic pieces of matter from energy. At least that's what they claim. What? How much energy would it take to make the universe? How much energy would it take to make one planet, a relatively small planet called Earth? How much energy? Well, how much energy can come from 22 pounds of uranium that we decide to shoot electron beams at and cause a chain reaction called an atomic bomb? It takes 22 pounds or so for it to start the reaction and continue the reaction to explode. We know from World War II that complete cities were leveled from a 22-pound chunk of uranium. How much energy would it take a god to build a planet, to build the entire universe out of nothing? Just by speaking. Does a god that could do that really deserve my worship, praise, glory? That should be enough proof. But I want to describe some other things about this God. The scripture uses a word Elohim. Elohim. For Moses, it was the words I am, the God of the I am, a self-existing God. Say, don't understand it. Good, believe it by faith. It's true. There's a lot of things we can't understand about God. Brother Mendez mentioned evolution this morning. The more you learn about evolution, the more you find out you better have a lot of faith. You better have a lot of faith. You have to have faith in something. Why not have faith in the truth rather than in ideas that seem so foolish? How could they even be real? The self-existing God. And yet he's all-powerful. He can just use the energy he has, make planets, make stars. He's an eternal God. Can our brains understand that? It's beyond our understanding. Never had a beginning, never had an ending. And what did God do? He made this planet so that we would have a chance to spend the rest of existence. We had a beginning, God didn't, but he's giving us the chance to spend eternity with him. We think we're just going to sit around and wonder what's going to happen. It's going to be so exciting when we get to heaven. This is the God that we say we believe in, that we're trusting for salvation. Does he know everything? What things does the scripture say that God lets us know in Scripture that he knows about us. Pardon? He knows what's in our hearts. The exact words in the Bible, he knows the thoughts and intents of our heart. Even before you think it. God knew you would be thinking it. He knew that before he created you in a womb, which was fearfully and wonderfully made, according to Job. What else does God know besides everything we think about? Bronson? Really? Is it easier for Brother Leo to count? Yeah? He's one of the few, but you clean yours off every day or so. If he knows how many hairs are on our heads, do you think he cares about our lives? I believe he does. Something else God does. Says he knows every name of every star. How many of you would like a star named after you? My school kids know because I've told them. Is Bronson the only child? Andrew, how do we know about names of stars? No? Speak up. You go to a NASA website. Pay them about $70. They'll name a star any name you want it to be. Right now, they just try to number them. But there are so many stars. And that what I shared in Sunday school, some of those little shiny spots in the sky that we say are stars are actually galaxies. That one little speck of light is millions and billions of stars in that one little speck of light. Good old Hubble telescope, right? They have not found the edge of the universe. Does that help us understand how big our God is, how wonderful our God is, how awesome? But God knows the name of every star. Even if somebody decides to change one of them. This God is justified in doing anything he wants to do with me. And we have to let him do that for each of us. Because he's given us so many promises that if we will do some things according to his ways, you like God's blessings, I'm sure. But when God made this universe, he wanted every part of his creation to glorify him. And Adam and Eve had that chance, didn't they? Uh-huh. Because when God put them in the garden, he gave them a couple of things to do. Be fruitful. Multiply. Sounds like the same thing, doesn't it? Well, the being fruitful has to do with grow in the grace and knowledge of God. And multiply is the physical creation of children. And even before they could have their first child, Scripture indicates man messed up. Does that make you go back and think, why did God let Satan cause Eve to sin? We don't have really any of those details. But sometime back in eternity past, God created the angels, right? And everything was going perfect until one day, at least one of the angels said, I will be like the Most High God. Uh-oh. Lucifer didn't create anything. Didn't know anything other than what God put into him somehow. But there were spirits You say, how does that fit into God's plan? Why didn't he just let life be perfect, nobody ever sin? I have a pretty good explanation, I believe. He's giving us the chance to see if we're going to glorify him or not. He had to allow evil into his universe. Why? Because we're the only creature God made that has a choice. The angels that rebelled against God and followed Satan, there's no recovery for them. They made their choice, and God has condemned them to a place called the Lake of Fire. Thank you. But he made man. He gave us a choice, too. He gave us a choice. Are we going to glorify God? Are we going to believe that God is justified as a statement? Or are we going to keep it a question? Is God justified? Which one takes more faith? Making it a statement or keeping it a question? Do you really believe that? It takes faith to believe that God is justified in everything he does. Haven't opened any scripture yet. Long introduction, sorry. But let's look at Genesis chapter 1. Just thinking how wonderful God is. It's really chapter 3, not chapter 1, sorry. Yes. When Adam and Eve were tempted, they had a choice to make. And it was Eve's fault, right? Who did God make first? God's fault! I wouldn't say that either. Satan's fault, right? Of course it was. Eve blamed him. Adam blamed him. It was the serpent. Good old pass the buck syndrome. Yeah. But what did that disobedience do? God said, don't eat of one tree. How many trees do you think had fruit on them? At least hundreds in a garden. How often do we do the one thing we shouldn't? God didn't put that in us, but he allowed it to be put into our soul, because when Adam and Eve sinned, that sin nature has been passed down to every human. Except for that one perfect human who didn't have an earthly father. But in 3:15, this is the verse that teaches us the solution. Even though man messed up, God had a plan. He is justified. His plan was to fix the problem. The problem was sin. Hasn't been fixed completely yet. But it still takes faith to believe it. In verse 14 it's saying, and God said, but I want to look just at verse 15, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. That is the first reference to our Savior. At Christmas time, people wonder, why is Christmas important? He told that while Adam and Eve were listening. He's talking about Satan. That one day, God would take care of the sin problem. And it took about 4,500 years or so, if you follow biblical dating. Nobody knows for sure. But if you try to keep track, it was at least that long until God's remedy, the Lord Jesus, could fix our problem, mankind's problem. Animals didn't have a problem. They always glorify God. The plants, they don't have a problem. They live, they reproduce, and eventually they die. We have the problem. But God has the solution. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you have to believe that. Have to. And when you do, God gives you the gift of eternal life. But that doesn't end our believing. Go to Genesis chapter 6. Here's the story of Noah. Do you know what happened from the time that God kicked Adam and Eve out of the garden? They went out of the garden and they started having children. Even number one and two sons of Adam and Eve. Cain killed Abel. Didn't take very long to show that they were sinners. God is justified. He had to let all of this evil play out in his creation, breaking his heart every day we sin. Every day the billions of people that have lived have sinned. He's being patient. He's waiting. He's waiting. He's justified in waiting. It's his creation. But it says, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Verse 8. Grace? Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord? Oh, our first hymn had grace in it. Mr. Mendez, how long ago did you plan singing that hymn? You think God had a purpose in singing about grace? It connects with my message tonight, and I didn't even know I was going to be speaking until really recently. By the way, be ready in an instant to be able to stand and speak God's truth to people. It's great to see God doing this in my life. It's a thrill. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Undeserved favor. He didn't deserve it. The time up until these verses, man was doing so many terrible things that it says even the thoughts that they thought were evil and against God. Is that true today? It might be true if this church was completely empty and I was the only one standing here talking to myself. But I've seen God working in your lives too. You don't have every thought evil. How did God work things out for Noah? He said, okay, need to build a little boat. Little compared to the world. Only took him about 120 years. He and three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and their three wives. And I'm guessing Noah got the help of all these wicked people around him. You know how construction people are. Evil. Well, Noah got the job done. It doesn't give us a lot of the details. Made it out of gopher wood, made it a certain size. A lot of people making fun of him. For 120 years of being made fun of? Oh, by the way, did I tell you he was 500 years old when God told him to do this? 500 years old? Yes, because a lot of people lived into 900 years, if you keep track of their genealogies. Noah lived to be 950 by the time God was done with him. Was God justified in having one family build an ark and have enough faith to get onto that ark, believing God was going to destroy everybody else? How willing are you to stand as a family for God? If you were the only family in the entire world, are we glad we have some friends that agree with us, that want to follow the scripture and love the Lord? Makes life a lot easier. But God was justified. Are we sure that the world was covered once by water? You know any proofs? The Bible has proven to be true. Do you know that archaeologists have gone to the top of Mount Everest and found fossils of underwater creatures on the very highest peak? How are they going to get 37,526 feet up in the air? Above sea level, that is. How are they going to get there? Oh, wonder if they were covered with water sometime in the past. There are lots of things that prove the Bible is true. Do we believe it? Do we believe God was justified in flooding the earth and killing every inhabitant except for one family? Four men and four women? How could you say God is justified in that? Because Noah had a message to tell those people. Believe on the God that I believe, who wants me to build this big boat, and there's plenty of room for you to come on board. And nobody did. God's salvation is available for every person. Just like every person who wanted to think about getting on that ark with Noah. Nobody else did. God is justified. They were on the ark almost a year. When it settled, Noah and his family rejoiced. Let the animals out. How long did it take for man's sinful nature to surface again? You understand that Noah and his family lived in a cave for a little while after the flood? And one of Noah's sons committed sexual things with his dad. He was cursed. Put a mark on him somehow. Because he was afraid the descendants would eventually kill him for all the trouble. No, we all have the sin nature. It made it past the flood. But the next big event that Scripture talks about, because men kept doing evil. So the reality of the sin is true. But there was a chain of descendants of Noah's son Shem. And it's in Genesis chapter 11. Noah's son Shem. It talks about in verse 1, the earth being one language and one speech. It came to pass as they journeyed from these that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And what did they decide to do? Build a city with bricks. Oh, how'd they think about that process? God gives us the abilities to do lots of things if we'll let him. But they didn't stop at just building a nice city. They decided to do what? Build a tower all the way to heaven, it says. Yeah, that sounds good. Let's do it. Wasn't God's plan. Do you know why that wasn't God's plan for them to stay settled in that one location and build a huge tower, Branson? Oh, well, that was part of the punishment, the discipline. Why should they not have stayed in that one place and built this great big monument to heaven? Because God told Noah, after they got out of the ark, the same thing he told Adam, which was what? Be fruitful and replenish the earth. And how could they do that, replenish the earth, if they stayed in this one spot? God knew it would lead to trouble, like he knows everything. What was his solution? Confound their language. If they couldn't talk to each other, how are they going to work together and build a tower all the way to heaven? About the tallest buildings we have on the planet now are, what, maybe 1,500 feet? The tallest skyscrapers in any city, anywhere in the world? Oh, they make it up into where the clouds are. I've been in the Chicago Tower. Couldn't see a thing because the clouds were just blocking every direction. Maybe they thought they could build a building that big. No, steel and cement. I'm going to the place that sometimes we do things that God doesn't want us to do. And he has his way of fixing the problem. They weren't going to replenish the earth the way they were going. So when he confounded their language, they spread around. They went different directions. Whichever group could speak and understand each other, away they went. Now, back to Genesis. Look at verse 10. 11, verse 10. These are the generations of Shem. Shem, Noah's son, says he was 100 years old and he begat Arphaxad 2 years after the flood, and Shem lived after he begat Arphaxad 500 years and begat sons and daughters. Arphaxad lived and he begat Salah, and Salah lived till he was only 30 now. Oh, he's a young whippersnapper. But he begat Eber. Verse 16, Eber lived 43 years and begat Peleg. Oh, look at that next verse. And Eber lived after he begat, nope, that's not it. Peleg lived 30 years and begat Reu, and Reu lived after he begat and begat sons and daughters. That's not the passage I want. The chain of children through Shem connects to a guy named Abram, down in verse 29, actually 27, Terah begat Abram. Who did Abram become? God changed his name. Abraham. Why was he important? Father of all of Israel. God promised Abram, I'll make of thee a great nation. And all the families of the world would be blessed. God had it all planned out. He just gives us little glimpses here and there. God is justified. And if we don't let him have that place in our life where he deserves every word that comes out of our lips and every act of kindness and service, if we're not giving that to him, we're shortchanging ourselves, because it doesn't affect God's ability. It's our life we have to give to him, especially if he's our Savior. He deserves every ounce of breath and strength that we have. He's justified. God waited many thousands of years before the Savior came. Just follow the history in the Bible. So much of it has been proven by science to be true. Do we believe that? His track record. Make our lives the best thing they can be. I challenge my students. We celebrate Jesus' birthday, but what kind of a gift can we bring to Jesus? Fix something in your life that's going to make you bring more glory to him. We can't give him any particular gift, but we can give him more of ourselves, our heart, our life, our existence. It gives him the praise. I've been studying this topic, and I've got about 6 other pages of things through the Old Testament. All the main characters. How did God bless? And just everybody after Abraham. How did God bless Isaac? How did God bless Jacob? Did God choose both sons of Abram? No. There was a evil son, Ishmael. That wasn't God's plan. It was their plan. Jacob and Esau, another set of brothers, twins this time. God loved one and said hated the other. Don't want to be on that side of God, the side that God hates. No. He deserves our praise. He deserves our glory. So if the Lord permits, maybe in a Sunday school series, I've got about another 8 or 10 pages of lessons I could teach. But they all have to do with this subject. I didn't have a reason why God put me in this direction probably a little over a week ago. Have your devotions and get God working in your life so you can stand up here and tell our church how God's working in your life and use his truth to prove to you that God is justified in everything he does.